The scripture reading for today comes from Psalm 66, verses 8 through 20. It's found on page 500 in your pew Bible. Bless our God, O peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard. Who has kept us among the living and has not let our feet slip? For you, O God, have tested us, and you have tried us as silver is tried. You brought us into the net. You laid burdens on our backs. You let people ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, yet you have brought us out to a spacious place. I will come into your house with burnt offerings. I will pay you my vows, those that my lips uttered and my mouth promised when I was in trouble. I will offer to you burnt offerings of fatlings with the smoke of the sacrifice of rams. I will make an offering of bulls and goats. Come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will tell what he has done for me. I cried aloud to him, and he was extolled with my tongue. If I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But truly, God has listened. He has given heed to the words of my prayer. Blessed be God, because he has not rejected my prayer or removed his steadfast love from me. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
We come together. We come together to worship God and to learn. And one of the ways we learn is from the Word of God. The Word, the Logos, the Gospel. This Gospel, read in our midst, is the Word of God. If you are comfortable standing, I invite you to do so. Today from John 14, the 15th verse and following. Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while the world will no longer see me, but you will see me because I live, you also will live. On that day you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me, and those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Most of you have probably heard of the lectionary. How many of you have heard of the lectionary? It's a suggested readings, a group of lectioneers. I'm making that word up, but go with me if you will. Some committee somewhere decided what scriptures should be routinely read in the Protestant churches. And so they have a four-year rotation, and each year those readings change. And each year they go through a different one of the Gospels. Let's name the Gospels: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. This year's Gospel has been John. We're in the middle of this John. John is different. John is that strange. When you read the first three and they seem to kind of run in parallel, they're called synoptic. But John is a little different, and he has different reason for his writing and a different time slightly. But we've been in John. It's been an exciting and interesting journey. But he interweaves many things. One of the things he's going to interweave is this discussion that he had about this advocate. Did you hear that in the scripture? This Spirit of truth. This paraclete. That's the term. That's the original term. It's paraclete. P-A-R-A-K-L-E-T-E. It's like parakeet, but different. One is a bird. One was confusing to everyone, and we're going to talk more about that in a couple of weeks, but interwoven with that, and it's the place where we usually go to focus on this passage, and I'm going to set it aside, and we're going to talk about the other part. If you love me, you will keep my commandments.
They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me. And those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them.
I love my tie. Bugs Bunny. Tasmanian Devil. Tweety Bird. Don't you just love this tie? I love that new TV show. I don't remember the name of it. I just love that show, don't I?
I love this color of car. I'd like to get a car. Oh, I love this car. This is such a nice new car. Do you remember the TV show Happy Days? I loved that show. In the show, there was a character by the name of Potsy. Do you remember Potsy? One day in one of the episodes, this beautiful girl walked by and he says, "I think I'm in love." Anybody seen the movies Love Story? Or Brian's Song? Sleepless in Seattle? Romeo and Juliet? Love. Love. Valentine's Day, love. Front of the bulletin. Did you see my hearts there? I picked that out. I said, "Here, Paya, this is what I want to put on the bulletin." She gave me this look. Here he goes again. Hearts and love. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Where do you tie that in with Sleepless in Seattle? How are we going to tie that in with the way I feel about my tie? Sylvester and Tweety here. There they are. Don't you just love this tie? I love Jesus. It's a word that troubles us, you see. It's a word that's a problem. And we need to be aware of the... And we've probably already discussed that. The original Greek had multiple words, and they all get translated love. There's eros, agape, philios. There's another one, but we're not going to deal with. It's debated. You heard of eros? How many of you have ever read erotic poetry? Mark, you have to lift your hand because I heard you read Songs of Solomon in church. How many of you have read any of Songs of Solomon? Keep your hands up. Keep your hands up. How many of you have read erotic poetry? Same hands. That's what it is. It's about love and lust and beauty and bodies and all of those things that we never talk about in the church. We should. We've given it over to society and commercialization. All right, I'll get off that soapbox and let's go down this path for a minute. There's another love called brotherly love. Now, I can't speak to the women's experience. It may be a little different too, but for guys, when I was in high school and middle school, I couldn't walk up to another guy and say, "I love you, man." It just would not have worked in that day and age when I was in school. How about you guys? It just wasn't possible. Today it is. Today it's changed some. And so, amen, we're making a little progress. That brotherly love is accepted without getting all caught up and worried about all the different phobias and fears and what does that mean. And brotherly love, philios. That's another one of those words that gets translated love. And agape. Agape is the love between God and humanity. And so that should theoretically be what we're talking about when Jesus said, "If you love me." But when we have this word love, and it's loving everything from ties to TV shows, we get a little confused, and it doesn't help us really understand what God is talking about when He's speaking to us. Hang on a minute, I've got to check something here. Last week I want to bring up that slide that Sue has for us. Last week we talked about believe, if you believe something. How many of you believe the sun's going to come up in the morning, tomorrow morning? How many of you can prove it? Not a one of us. No, we cannot be sure. The probability is very high. I'd be willing to bet on it, but I'm not sure 100%. But believing, we discovered that believing is more than thinking it out and figuring the odds. Believing is how we connect heart to heart. We get to know and we understand and we're
connected and we believe in Christ, we become connected at a deep spiritual, emotional, loving heart-to-heart level. Pistuo is how it's pronounced. Say it once with me. Pistuo. You won't remember it next week, but that's okay. So here we have that word love, too, and it's kind of a confusing word. Now, we need to be aware of something. We need to be aware that usually when we talk about love, we're trying to express a feeling. And feelings are never right or wrong. Say that with me. Feelings are never right or wrong. Say that one more time. Feelings are never right or wrong. Feelings describe how we are. If I'm angry or if I'm sad or if I'm anxious or nervous, and if I'm aware of those, that's what we are. We have a dysfunctional society. We have statements like, you shouldn't feel like that. It's like saying, you shouldn't have that eye color. Your eyes should be an entirely different color than they are. How many of you can change your eye color at will? Yep. I have to tell you a story. The first church I served, Hillsdale, Wyoming, just east of Cheyenne. 32 members when I got there. Family came in. There was 14 people joined. I had the best percentages of membership growth of anybody in the conference that year. Went from 32 to 46 people. I did not get an award, but that's another story. Family joins, and there's grandma and her daughter and son-in-law, her husband, two twin girls and a son. And they came to church, and so my job is to try and figure out their names and put names with faces. Twin girls, identical twins. Except that one of them had blue eyes. I thought, that's a startling thing. I didn't know that twins, you know, I didn't know that much about twins. But one of them had blue eyes, so I tried to figure out, well, is this Jody or Jesse? So I thought I had it figured out. So the next Sunday, they come to church, and I said, hi, Jody. And she said, no, I'm Jesse. So the next Sunday, they came, blue eyes. I said, hi, Jesse. She says, no, I'm Jody. I thought, I'm so confused. The next week, they came, and mom's eyes were blue. They had colored contact lenses. They were messing with me, and they loved every second of it. So other than colored contact lenses, you cannot change your eye color, can you? I think you thought you'd be, all right, well, we can keep hoping. That may come with time, but feelings can be changed, but they are what they are, just like your eye color. That's why this time and the sermon title is what it is. Picking your eye color. Those pesky feelings about picking your eye color. Okay. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Love, according to our culture, is a feeling. You either love somebody or you don't, or you might grow to love them, but it's that feeling. And it's a feeling that usually gets tied to eros. When you're in your 20s and you meet somebody and you fall in love, by the time you're 80, that's changed a little bit because you don't look 20 anymore. There are wrinkles and gray and hairlessnesses in place and hairs that have grown in places. Do some of us know what we're talking? Yeah, all right, we've been there. So love doesn't go away. The physical attraction may change some. I think Hollywood's all lost in that. That's why they say we fell out of love. And there are divorces and multiple divorces and things going on, and it just continues. They don't understand what that word love is. Have you ever been to a wedding? Some of you have been married, so you have to say yes. Will you love your husband and keep them in sickness? And will you love your wife, keep her in sickness and in health? Remember those? How can you guarantee you're going to keep loving them forever? But you see, that's the wrong use of the word. The word is one we've got to back up and we've got to rethink about, and we've got to rethink what it means, especially in this context. And I think that the right word to change it to, and it's a scary word, is commitment. If you are committed to me, you will keep my commandments. Boy, that's a big word. By the way, we're not talking about the Ten Commandments here. Some people, they think church and they think Ten Commandments. Oh yeah, I've read those ones. Jesus' commandment, love the Lord your God with, there's that word love again. Be committed to the Lord God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Be committed to your neighbor as yourself. Changes it a little, doesn't it? Puts a different spin on it. That's why they were beginning to ask, who are my neighbors? Maybe I don't have to be committed to everybody. I have neighbors I don't even like. How am I going to love them? My neighbor across the street is his own lawn landscaping company. He gets up about the same time the sun begins to think about coming up, and he goes out and he loads his metal trailer with all his metal tools. Kerclank, kerthunk, kerquank. And he has to test his tools. And I'm thinking, if I had a rocket launcher. But you see, I still have to love him. How do I love him? How can I be committed to my neighbor? How can I, if he, as a Korean, is being oppressed in some way, I'm committed to saying, let me help. Let me stand there and help. Let me stand with you. Let me care. Who are our neighbors? Somebody asked Jesus that question, but who are our neighbors? Maybe it's only the ones that we care about. Maybe it's only close, intimate family that he let us off the hook a little bit. Do you remember the story he tells them? It's the story of the Good Samaritan. A man's been beat up, mugged, and robbed, naked, laying in the ditch. The priest goes to the other side of the road, walks around him. Chief Levites go around him. Everybody's avoiding him because the laws said no, they should not approach a naked body, they should not approach a dead body. So they're obeying the laws. But Jesus' law says, love them, be committed to them. And here comes the Samaritan. He's one of the outcasts. He's one of the people that we love to hate. I don't know if we'd call them a terrorist today. I don't know which category of people we can place. But Samaritans were not people you liked in any way, shape, or form. And he commits himself to his neighbor. Which of those, Jesus said, did my will, the one who cared for him? Commit yourself to the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, mind. Commit yourself to your neighbors. How do we be for our neighbors? How do we advocate, care for, commit ourselves to all of those in need? First, we need to find those who have need. It's easy to stay within our own shell and say, everything's fine, I just need to cut the grass sometime this week. I just mowed it last week and there's doggone rain, now I got to mow it again. I can focus on mowing my lawn and not worry about my neighbors. I'm not committed to them, am I? But committing to them, how can we be about that? Holly did a good job with Psalm 66. Interesting psalm, an ancient song, possibly a song. Blessed be God because he has not rejected my prayer or removed his steadfast love from me. It's not that big of a struggle hearing that and hearing God's love for us, but what was intriguing, I took the text and checked that the Hebrew, there's no word for love in there anywhere. The word for God is Elohim. That's common and not unusual for us, but let us hear the translation from the Hebrew. Blessed be Elohim because he has not rejected my prayer or removed his covenant loyalty from me. Covenant loyalty. Doesn't roll off your tongue like love, does it? Doesn't fit nicely in all the way things. But covenant loyalty is God's commitment to us. That's incredible. What a gift. That's the good news. That's everything about who we are and what we're about and how we're called to be. Okay, so as Christians then, if you are committed to me, God will be committed back and will respond John 14, the 24th verse. We didn't read it out loud, but let me read this one closing statement that he makes. And I'm going to change the word love out of it. And those who are obedient to me will be cared for by God. And I will care for them and will reveal myself to them. That's the call. That's the gospel word for this morning. That's who we're about, who we're called to be, and how we are blessed in our call. Amen.